This week brought shockwaves of grief and fear. We did not vote in unison, and I respect that. I also know that many in this community are angry, afraid, even despairing. A friend's daughter, who's in kindergarten, asked if her friends with brown skin would be allowed to stay. Couples wonder if their marriage will be honored in other states in years to come. A trans friend is newly motivated to get his gender properly recorded on his ID as soon as possible and to work harder to pass. Women contemplate a society where overt misogyny and assault have been legitimized, worse yet, dismissed by our highest office. On Friday morning, the trail I had been running in a blue college town in Indiana, usually humming with families and students and seniors, revealed fresh graffiti, a black lamppost covered with bold white letters, KKK, a tree defaced with a swastika. It is no small wonder that people are worried. Deep divisions have risen to the surface. We feel this profound grief in our bodies because so very much of this oppression is about bodies. It is aimed at specific bodies. And so what? What does the Incarnate One offer us at a time like this? Well, Jesus seems to tell us that this oppression is as old as anything. That persecution has always been, and yet that it is a sign that something new is coming. This way of coming close to God by following Jesus has grown up fighting oppression of the empire from the very beginning. Though the empire has also claimed Christianity as its own, oppressing people in Jesus' name, resisting oppression is who we are. Jesus does not accept this oppression, but he plainly acknowledges it. He sees it, and he demands that we confront it face on. I was in Indiana over the election for my goddaughter's baptism. I stayed up late watching the returns come in, and I relished the sweet relief of sleeping in a little bit on Wednesday morning. When I woke, everyone else in the house was already up. I could hear them singing. I lay in bed listening and then slowly climbed the stairs to join them, though I couldn't yet convince my mouth to form the words. They were singing that chant by Ana Hernandez, "Open My Heart." It's one we often sing in Advent here. It's a song of hope, of waiting, of acting. As I listened, it drew me into a memory. It transported me back to a thin place, a place where the veil between the earth and the holy seemed unusually permeable. It was earlier this fall, and I was running. Maybe you've heard me share that this is a primary way that I come close to God. And yet, too often, I forget that this is why I go. Way out on a deserted trail, up in the hills, I remembered to pray, to practice that pilgrimage of light feet, of looking for an opening. I was just beginning up the last long hill passing under twisted live oaks, when I felt an odd sort of pressure in my chest. But my heart wasn't beating faster. I checked my heart rate monitor and it was steady. I continued on, trying to simply notice. The pressure, it came to feel like a heart, but another heart, a new heart, extra. It filled my chest, surrounding my own heart, expanding. It felt like my heart was filled with light, seeping into my lungs. I pushed hard up and around the bends of the hill, paying attention to this strange heart. And in the flash of a moment, I perceived that it was Mary's sacred heart. Is that even a thing? I wondered. I didn't know. We didn't spend much time on Mary in my Episcopal seminary. I had no idea if it was a thing. Except I was clear that it had just been given to me. This swelling heart felt like armor encasing mine. It felt impenetrable, strong, and safe. And I confess, this new armor carried with it a sense of relief. As I crested the hill, I raised my voice, at once confused and exasperated and grateful. Mary, why did you give me your sacred heart? What do I do with it? Immediately, before I had even finished, the answer came. Let it break. Let it break. When nation rises against nation, when the end seems to loom near, this is when we stand up as disciples. Jesus names this time in all its tumult as our opportunity to testify. So what are we going to bear witness to? What will we stand up for, and who will we stand up with? Just as oppression is brought upon our bodies, we give witness with our bodies too. Our bodies are a gift marked by God's image. No matter what lies the empire may spin, God has called every single one of these bodies good. And they are given to us to use, to stand up in, to work in, to organize in. And as I'm coming to understand, since my encounter with Mary, since it's dissipated, we've been given these remarkably sacred hearts also. But they are not gifts that were meant to be locked away, pristine, in a safe. God has given them to us to use. In order to give bold witness to this gospel way, we begin by letting our hearts break. We show up. We love fiercely. We get close enough that we really see each other. We set aside our assumptions and we listen with such care that we fully hear each other's story. If we do this, if we are really present and honest, our hearts will break. But they will be breaking into openness, into love of another. Love even of those with whom we disagree so vehemently. We let our hearts break open widely enough to hold space for reconciliation with all people. We let our hearts break knowing that it will hurt and trusting that this is how we will love together. And this is precisely what I have seen this week. I've seen people lamenting together, strangers embracing in shared grief, folks being really honest about their fears. And I've seen people considering how this election will affect those with less privilege and reaching out to them. I've seen kin in the broadest, holiest sense of the word, letting their hearts break with one another. This is the new creation unfolding, echoing Isaiah's unshakable hope. Of course there will be ugliness and hatred. There has been, there will be, and it's awful. But do you see how people are reaching for this new creation? I hear folks committing to fight for continued health care for all, so that it shall not be that an infant lives but a few days, or an old person does not live out a lifetime. Already I see leaders rising in solidarity with our immigrant neighbors, organizing to work for the justice that these beloveds shall not build and another inhabit, that they shall not plant and another eat. No, they shall build houses and inhabit them here with their families in their chosen home. And I hear you answering the call to reconciliation, the call to listening, to repairing the breach, to hosting space where the wolf feeds together with the lamb. The table must be set to welcome all. I hear again and again the promise of protection, of sanctuary, of holding one another close. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. When we are terrified, the temptation comes to put on armor, to build walls. But instead, we are called to be the body together, to stand as one, to carry each other's pain. This is where our strength lies. We really are stronger together. When we let our hearts break, we are given the strength to testify. Like sistering Joyce, we can bear mighty burdens when we come alongside one another. When we lay down our armor and enter into another's pain, we can speak truth to power together. We open our eyes to see that this election has been painful, is painful for all sides, no matter how we voted. As Jesus tells his disciples, we are given words and wisdom to respond. This is what can happen when we are really present rather than preparing our reaction before we've even listened. Do not be terrified, friends. This is our opportunity to give witness to the God who lifts up the least of these. Now is our time to testify to the incarnate God, the God who knits us together as one body where every member, every body is needed. This is the hour to speak out about this God of reconciliation, the one who empowers us to love even our enemies. And this is a tall order. This call to testify is a very tall order today, and it will be for years to come. But just as Paul encouraged the young Christians in Thessalonica, I say to you now, do not be weary in doing what is right. Claim the body you have been given and the sacred heart set within you. Tether yourself to this, the body of Christ. Draw near, draw close enough to fully see another, and allow yourself to be fully seen. Be a witness to it all, to the pain and to the healing. Be a witness against oppression. Testify to the beauty of this new creation already unfolding. speak to the hope that does not fade away. Today, more than ever, we must reach for the example of those women who returned to the tomb. Still dark out, they must have known that being present to his broken body would break their hearts. They showed up anyway, and they became the first witnesses to the resurrection. Now as we fear the empire's threat of violence, it's our turn to show up and bear witness. Why? Why did you give us this sacred heart? Let it break, she answered. Let it break wide open.